Because the first discussion, point of discussion was during here is, of course, this is evidence and not a summary of your evidence.
Yes, I apologise that it wasn't fully lodged in accordance with the procedural minute.
But on the basis it's a page and a half, I think we can cope.
Thank you.
We laid that on Mr. McBarr's broad shoulders to address. Please proceed.
My name is Scott Snednecker.
Oh, yeah, I think we can take, we can take your personal qualifications.
Yep. So starting at paragraph 3. I've been engaged by Mr. Murray Fraser to provide expert planning evidence relating to a submission which sought amendments to the notified provisions of the large lot residential zone, including a reduction in the minimum lot size from 4,000 to 2,000 square metres. Mr. Fraser's property is located within the proposed large lot residential zone at the intersection of Aubrey Road and Anderson Road, but his submission relates to the large lot residential zone generally. I note that Mr. Fraser's submission has largely been dealt with through Hearing Stream 6. However, the recommendations made by Ms. Amanda Leith in her Section 42A report on Chapter 11 include amendments to the proposed district plan maps to show large lot residential A and B zones. The large lot residential A and B zones are recommended as a means of providing for a reduced minimum lot size of 2,000 square metres within specific parts of the large lot residential zone. As such, the relief sought in Mr. Fraser's submission and the recommendation of Ms. Leith in the Hearing Stream 6 are of some relevance to these operative mapping hearings. In preparing the statement of evidence, I have read Ms. Leith's Section 42A report and the supporting evidence of Mr. Garth Faulkner and Ulrich Glasner. I've also read Mr. Barr's Wanaka Urban and Lake Highway Section 42A report and associated expert evidence. I note, however, that the amendments to the proposed planning maps to create the large lot residential A&B zones are a response to submissions on the plan text, rather than submissions seeking the rezoning of specific areas, and consequently have not been addressed in Mr. Barr's Section 42A report. Mr. Fraser's submission sought the reduction of the large lot residential minimum lot size from 4,000 to 2,000 square metres on a zone-wide basis. In his urban design evidence for council, Mr. Faulkner found that in principle the minimum lot size could be reduced to 2,000 square metres across the entire zone on the basis that the notified 4,000 square metre lot size is very large, and the large lot provisions, being building coverage, height limit, boundary setbacks, etc., would continue to achieve a high level of residential amenity if the minimum lot size was to be reduced. I adopt Mr. Faulkner's opinion on this matter and consider that a reduction to the large lot residential zone minimum lot size would make a positive contribution to the availability and affordability of residential land within the Wanaka urban growth boundary. I accept, however, that as Ms. Leith points out in her Section 42A report, there are parts of the large lot residential zone that are more suited to the reduced lot size than others, taking into account proximity to the town centre, existing subdivision patterns and servicing. I also agree with Mr. Faulkner and Ms. Leith that the parts of the large lot residential zone on the outstanding natural feature of Mount Iron are likely to be more sensitive to intensification and consequently may not be appropriate for a reduction in lot size. On that basis, I agree with Ms. Leith that are recommended amendments to the proposed plan of maps to create the large lot residential A and B zones are an appropriate mechanism to provide for the reduced lot size within specific areas of the large lot residential zone. I therefore support Ms. Leith's recommended amendments to the proposed planning maps and consider that they adequately provide for the relief sought by Mr. Fraser.
Thank you, Mr.
Fraser.
Commissioner McBride.
No. That's a no for me. Thank you very much, Mr. Reed.
Thank you.
No, it's the last line. Next, we have Mr. Anderson. Very welcome, sir. Step forward.
I have some copies of maintenance.
We've already got, if you've got 12 pre-circulated, we've already got that down the group. So.
And read.
And so, you don't need to read it back to us, as we've already read it, but if you want to pick out any particular points you want to highlight, then by all means. And the other thing I should tell you, if you haven't already picked it up, that Mr. Barr, Council Planner, having read your evidence, agrees with it and has recommended that it be accepted. That's then not to say it's gospel, because we preserve at all times the ability to disagree with Mr. Barr, but it's a good starting point.
Okay. That's fantastic. Well, then, you've read what I call the official version, and I only had a small bit of ad lib for the human version, which was effectively that Mum and Dad want to build on the rear of the site as the area is more private and sheltered from the wind. Mum and Dad could go through a resource consent process to get buildings on the back of the site. However, it seems a waste of time, resources and money with the district plan review as the opportunity to correct what looks like the mapping error. I drew a picture, which I was going to elaborate on, but I don't think I have to. The section is triangular in shape. Large lot at the rear, low density residential front. The rear of the site is simply the best place to build on. The front of the section falls away, it's more exposed to the elements. That concludes my submission.
Now, Mr. Anderson, I just want to get a fix on exactly where you are on the ground. When we went on our site visit, we went to the end of West Meadows Road and we walked up to the ridge line, and there are some existing houses on the ridge. Where is your place in relation to those houses?
It's actually beyond those houses, yeah. And I can show you on the map.
So, like when I looked again at the photos I'd taken, I thought, having reread your evidence, that would be a section. I thought it either had to be on further along on the ridge or just below the ridge, but it's right on the top.
No, it's not. It's down from the top. There are some houses on the top of the ridge. It's below. Above the end where Alan is currently developing his land. So access to it is from Studholme Road, not from Meadows Road.
And we saw the access, I think it's, is it 96 to 102, are on the letterboxes on Studholme Road?
I'm not sure, unfortunately, because I am spending much time there myself in that section.
But it's your, so the two houses, your section, or your parents' section, or your family trust section, but and then you have a neighbour with a section that looks about the same size directly alongside.
That's correct, yeah. I believe that is correct. I'd love to stand there and show you.
Yeah.
I can point it out on the map.
I think we can visualise it from there.
So it is not on the top of the ridge. It is partway down, sort of squeezed between the top of the ridge and basically where Alan is doing his development.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We had some confusion about the timetable shifting backwards and forwards, but it's good to see you.
I'm very, very sorry for that, for any misunderstanding what's happened there.
Well, I'm not sure how it happened, but the important thing is you're here now and we're good to go.
Excellent, thank you. My name is Matt Sutherby. I represent submissions made by my client, Mr. Dan Fallon, who's here today as well. Our submission evidence discusses the extension of the LDR zone, particularly related to the extension over the developed and undeveloped land to the west of Meadowstone and the vicinity of Old Station Ave. The land is currently zoned rural lifestyle and the proposed zoning is low density residential. And Mr. Fountain is a director in a company which owns a large undeveloped portion of that land, which is also subject to the zone change. The council officer reports that there's currently no recommendations to amend the proposed zoning from low density residential, so it looks like we're all on the same page. We support the extension of the LDR zone as proposed because it's efficient use of the land identified within the urban growth boundary. It fits well with the concentric zoning model, which has been adopted by the current plan and looks to be continued with the proposed plan. Gallagher Drive and Old Station Ave area has been progressively developed in line with the LDR standards. They're non-complying subdivision applications because of the rural lifestyle zoning. As a result of a long process involving consultation, application, notification, eventually a decision was issued in August 2001. At the time, I recall there was quite concern about the change in density. However, 16 years later, the low density residential environment has well and truly been established. The consent and subsequent subdivision applications have included non-specific land use consents to erect residential dwellings on each property. The consent notice attached to each title add unnecessary complexity to any future planning application. In addition to the expected costs of applying for any resource consent, additional legal costs are incurred to register the old consent notices on the title. This is an inefficient method of development, wasting valuable time and resources for both council and the landowners involved. Lot 1, DP 300373, as a 1 hectare parcel fronting Old Station Ave and it's currently undeveloped. There's a council reserve protecting historic trees between the northwest boundary of Mount Aspiring Road, and we have prepared preliminary subdivision plans to accommodate 12 to 15 houses on this property if developed in accordance with low density residential rules. We submit that the application of the low density site and zone standards over the land would be a practical and sensible outcome. It seems illogical to retain a pocket of rural land within the surrounding low density zone. The proposed zone change utilises land and infrastructure in an efficient manner. The service connections to water, wastewater and stormwater are all available and can easily be extended from nearby services. Roading infrastructure is also in place for future extension. We've we've had preliminary geotech investigations carried out by GeoSolve, and they've found no geotech issues that would prevent it being developed with residential buildings. Natural hazards such as alluvial fan liquefaction and seismic activity were identified. However, GeoSolve confirms that this can be mitigated with appropriate detailed engineering design. There's growing demand from tourists and the local population for accommodation in close proximity to the lakes and central Wanaka. It's important that the district plan review rezones this parcel, as it's one of the few greenfield undeveloped parcels of land within walking distance to the town centre. We support the extension of the zone as one of the methods to promote efficient use of Wanaka's infrastructure and to minimise the effects of urban sprawl. And this, combined with the small increase in density as proposed by the revised LDR rules, should enable more people to live in close proximity to the CBD. We think that it's ideally located to be rezoned as LDR. Its natural hazards can be appropriately mitigated and it can easily be connected to council's urban infrastructure. It's surrounded on three sides by similarly developed land, and we support council's view that it is a logical extension of the zone.
Thank you, Mr. Sardi. I want to raise a question to you. It's not so much about this land, but the precedent being set. The thing that I reacted to was your description of it in your evidence in chief that you referred to and you returned to in your summary, saying this is an easy walking distance. And how far would it be by foot, and how long would it take you?
Slightly over two kilometres.
And because it just struck me that if that was, I know that the people of Wanaka are staunch people who walk in anywhere, but if that was with easy walking distance, that radius going out from, say, where we are right now,
yes,
would take you quite a... That would be most of the town, wouldn't it?
Well, and that's probably the point that I'm making, that most of the town is within that radius, and yet that's a pocket of rural lifestyle land, and it's a flat walking distance as well. It's not like it's an undulating walk. It's a flat, easy walk along the lake shore.
That was the only thing that took my eye, but
Commissioner McLeod?
Just one little issue. I wonder if you could expand on the appropriate subdivision engineering design that would mitigate, because this is the alluvial plan that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it ended up with a flood through a few properties on Sargo Drive a few years ago. Is it the same one?
Yes.
And GeoSolve are confident it's not going to be a 12-foot high earth bund reinforced with rocks, or you know what I mean?
Exactly, yes. There's been considerable work done on Stony Creek further upstream on the Blenheim Hazard property, and there's since that flooding occurred, there's a lot of work on Stony Creek, and there's a big detention kind of dam area upstream from this property. So that's reduced the risk considerably in any case.
And that was put together by ORC?
Yes, that was ORC initiated.
That's all. As a matter of interest, what did they do? Sorry, I don't know, you may have just said that. But
I'm sorry.
What did the OARC works involve?
The ORC defined the channel of Stony Creek, and the issue was that Stony Creek came out of its channel and hopped into Studham Road and came down Studham Road and then Aspiring Road. So they've diverted the channel and send it further to the east, and then down below the in the planning house property there's a massive big empty dam, which is that's what it appears like. It's just a big detention pond. So in the event that it floods, it can hold a whole heap of water and then just releases it slowly.
Let's hope that doesn't fail.
Sorry?
And let's hope that doesn't fail.
Exactly.
And whereabouts is that dam? Like, I should emphasize, I'm just exercising my personal curiosity.
You will notice on the map, Studham Road is unformed. It takes a sharp left-hand bend to the east, and along that unformed section, just down below that, is where it is.
We're all good. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you attending. And as I say, good to see you. On a bit late than you, but get it.
Thanks.
Tomorrow morning, Lake Wanaka Centre, so that's tomorrow morning the 24th.